You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 4. Episode 62, as the New York Rangers have some interesting news for next season, and we will get into the Eastern and Western Conference Final, if you even really want to call it that. It seems like it's just a bye round. So, yeah, I'll start the podcast like I always do. Andy, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Nice day off from work, a surprise day off, so plenty of errands to get done and just plenty of relaxation to do. And I accomplished both, which is always nice, especially with the weather. It was pretty nice out today, although it's been raining for the last little bit here. But the rest of the week is supposed to be beautiful going into Memorial Day weekend. So, yeah, I'm doing good. Can't say the same for either the Dallas Stars or the Carolina Hurricanes, but I am doing good.
Yeah, I mean, that's shocking. I mean, for it to not even be a series on either side. Right now, as we're recording this, the Florida Panthers are up 2-1 against the Carolina Hurricanes. So, yeah, it looks like, barring a miracle here by either Carolina or the Dallas Stars, we're looking at a Florida Panthers versus the Vegas Golden Knights Stanley Cup Final. I guess we can start there, Andy, since we're already into it. I mean, we've already covered our emotions and our feelings about each series, but like, if you want to preview the matchup real quick, as of right now, what are your feelings?
It's tough, honestly. I think that it's hard for me to see that series. Although I've been saying that about the last few series, I've been wrong, but I can't see either team rolling over at this point. I mean, obviously, Bobrovsky's playing out of his mind, which is helping a big reason the Cats are on the heater they're on right now. But just you could tell they want it. You can tell the way the Florida forwards are skating. They're just, it almost feels like they're playing with house money. I don't think they feel any nerves at all. You know what I mean? It's just the longer this has gone, the success has gone on for them since coming back in what was that, game four against the Bruins, right?
Yeah.
They've literally just, it's almost like all the fear of losing just kind of left the team. They push offense all the time. They have all the confidence in the world in Bobrovsky and Net. They're throwing big hits. You know, Sam Bennett just absolutely rocked Slavin behind the net. He went to the dressing room. I'm not sure if he came back. I haven't seen that yet. But, yeah, on the other side of the coin, I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights are also playing extremely physical as well, and they're extremely disciplined. And even when they're down a goal, I think we were talking about on the last podcast, you're not worried about them getting the equalizer. You know what I mean? Even if they get scored on first. And if they score more than two on you, they are actually they can lock it down. You know what I mean? And it's over. So it'll definitely be interesting. I can't imagine it's going to be as one-sided as any of the two contests we're seeing right now. And the funny thing is that with this playoffs in general, it's just some of the results are so bizarre. But I think it's this is like the one Stanley Cup playoffs where it's like you got to throw out the analytics. It's just who's good at the right time. And a lot of it is going to be styles make fights. It's like, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes had a harder time with the Islanders than the Devils, but are now getting basically trounced by the Panthers. The Panthers had a real tough time with Boston, or were able to get by them, and now everyone's sleepwalking in the third round. It's just bizarre, but it's fun. It just seems like those two teams have so much momentum going into the Cup final if everything holds the way it is right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And not to go back, but I think it was game five where the Panthers came back because they were down 3-1. So it's amazing that the Florida Panthers have had this much momentum and this much success. And it's not just them, like I said last podcast, it's not just them winning hockey games. It's their swagger and their ability to be like, okay, we're down a goal. Nope, no biggie. We'll find a way to win. And then, you know, even if it's, you know, I mean, they're not really blowing anybody out, but they're just steady Eddie, and they're just, you know, plugging along. And if it goes to overtime, all right, we'll just grind this out and find a way to score. And they get guys to step up in big moments and have big games. And that's exactly, you know, the recipe that you need to succeed. And, you know, you mix that in with Bobrovsky having, you know, the best, you know, 2 months of his life as a goaltender. It's unbelievable. You know, it's just, he's on another planet right now. And that's exactly what the Florida Panthers needed. And if you go across to the West Coast, it's, you know, it's the same thing for the Vegas Golden Knights. They just, nothing phases them. They're just in a zone. And, you know, Andy, you watch these two teams and you see how their ability to just not feel any pressure and just kind of play with confidence, and whatever the hand is dealt, they make the best of it. It's like the total opposite of the New York Rangers. The Rangers, if one thing doesn't go their way, it's like, let's pack our bags and let's just pack it in here because there's not a chance we win. And that's the main difference. I mean, skill wise and individual roster wise, we match up. We're better than these teams, you know, man for man. I'm confident in saying that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's
interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess the funny thing you say about both those teams is that lo and behold, they had something to prove. I mean, you look at the Rangers last year coming out of the change to Gerard Gallant and the whole, they're too soft and they have to get tougher, and they had something to prove last year, and it wasn't always perfect, but that kind of seemed to fuel them. That's why the whole no quit New York thing came about in the first place. This year, it was not so much to prove it was, well, it should have been something to prove, but it felt more like expectation than like having a burr in their saddle or something they felt they need to prove to people and probably themselves. And they didn't have that this year, and they fizzled out. Now you look at Florida, they barely made it in. What, they were the eighth seed, basically. Yep.
So remember we thought like the team that you wanted to get, the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, the Islanders got them, and, you know, you're sitting there thinking like, man, oh man, you know, the Florida Panthers just played themselves out of the playoffs. You know, now they definitely don't have a chance. Well, man, joke's on us.
Joke's on us. Yeah. I mean, and they said, like, I think Kachuk said, he's like, look, obviously I understand people not picking them, but there's not a guy in that locker room who didn't think they could do it. And they did it. And then the, we want Florida chance from Toronto. You know what I mean? They just, every step of the way, they had to prove the haters and the doubters wrong. You know what I mean? And they did. And on the other side, you know, Vegas missed the playoffs last year with all the injuries, and clock's a ticking for some of those guys. And they had something to prove. You know what I mean? It's like, we can, you know, we're the best team in the West. So, you know, it's just something as simple as that. It's like just having, you know, something to prove, whether, and that's individual for every team that makes it this far. You know, the Hurricanes is thus far trying to prove that, hey, doesn't matter that we're hurt or we don't have these many forwards, doesn't mean we're going to be an easy out. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, like I said, we'll see if the scores hold. but it seems like that's what it's shaping up to be, is a Knights Panthers final.
Wild. And, you know, I think, you know, overall, if you're just a hockey fan, you're probably itching for this series to start. And it really is, you know, an unstoppable force versus an immovable object, because you look at both of these teams and you're like, who's going to fall apart here? Who, you know, who's going to crumble? Who's going to crack? Who's going to give up just game one? Like, I'm so intrigued on what game one would look like between these two teams. And, you know, I guess Vegas would have the home ice advantage. I don't even know if that's like, I feel like Florida's going to be like, all right, this is like a fucking vacation. Let's go to Vegas. Let's just have some fun. You know, let's win a hockey game and let's get back home. Like, and then, you know, Vegas, I feel like it's almost the same thing. It's like, all right, like, pack our suitcases, you know, let's bring our lunch pails to work and let's just get a W. And it, you look at both of these teams and, you know, nothing besides their mentality really sticks out. You know, they're getting big moments from big players, you know, each side. They're getting good goaltending. They're getting, you know, just an overall solid performance. But, you know, I would have to say I'm a little bit more shocked with Vegas and Dallas than I am with Florida, Carolina. I feel like Carolina just injury wise is plagued. I thought they'd put up a better fight, but overall, you know, I was more worried about me rooting for Florida than I was for Florida actually having to play the Carolina Hurricanes. I thought, you know, my emotions might, you know, start to dictate, you know, who wins here. Vegas and Dallas, I'm just shocked. Are you shocked that Dallas just kind of rolled over and kind of died? What'd you make it game three? I don't know if you saw any of the highlights.
I saw highlights. I mean, you know what it is? I will say, I'm shocked at the way their confidence fell apart when things started not going their way. I mean, they've taken some really stupid, untimely penalties. Obviously, the Ben thing in and of itself is kind of the summation of that. But it's just a lot. It's just a lot of that. Just when getting, I thought when they score first, they looked like they were playing looser. They didn't have their, I thought they didn't put their foot on the gas. I thought, you know what I mean? When they had momentum, you know, I just thought there was a lot of dumb ticky tacky stuff they didn't have to be a part of, or they should have just focused on getting back to their game and moving the puck with a purpose up the ice. And they just weren't doing that. You know what I mean? So, and I just think that's honestly what impresses me the most about the Knights, is that they just play the same way. And it's just a very well-contained system. They already are always have their support. Their play style, it's not really like they're not as high octane as the Cats are, but there's almost five guys in the picture all the way up the ice. You know what I mean? And they have options. They can move it back. They move it back to the blue line so well to get their shots through. And I think it really suits their forwards. I think Stone and Eichel are so good at just making themselves available on the boards to get shots through. Like, you just get it back to your defenseman and then they kind of do that half curl on the boards and they both make themselves available. It's just, they're just well coached. And that's credit to Bruce Cassidy, but it's a little bit different than the Cats. But I just thought that when Dallas has been successful in this series, or they're cooking, like, you know, it's when they're doing, you know, when they're playing their game, but it's just too few and far between. And the second they face a little bit of adversity, their game seems to fall apart. And their tempers seem to flare too, which is not helping them.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. You didn't like, I feel like you haven't liked Dallas from the beginning. And, you know,
well, you know what it is, James? It's, as a Rangers fan, they remind me too much of the Rangers, if that makes any sense. They have moments of brilliance. They have a bunch of, on paper, they have a bunch of good players. They have a stalwart defenseman on the back end. And when they want to make offense happen, they can. But then sometimes I just see them kind of standing around waiting for things to happen. I'm like, that's the New York Rangers. That's why it's kind of seems like suspect to me. You know what I mean? They're basically Rangers West. I've said that this forever.
Yeah, no, you have. And I mean, this is like, yeah, I could absolutely see the Rangers doing this. I mean, the Rangers basically did this against the Devils, but the difference was they decided to show up, you know, for a few of those games. So, you know, it's just, you know, this is why the NHL playoffs is so, you know, it's just so fun to watch and just intriguing. Always, every single year, you just never know what will happen. I mean, last year, obviously, the script was kind of written and everybody knew it was Colorado's time. And, you know, it's actually interesting, speaking of Colorado, not to change the subject completely, but the Nuggets, obviously, in the NBA final this year, the Avalanche, you know, won the Stanley Cup last year. I didn't even realize that they're, what is going on there locally where they can't even watch their team on TV? Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Well, apparently their games, I mean, listen, this was on the radio and I was listening to it, but the Nuggets and the Avalanche are blacked out for their home games. Now, I guess a deal was struck with the network to air the Nuggets games this playoffs because I think they saw the writing on the wall that this team could win a championship and the network didn't want to seem like the bad guy. So they figured out a deal. But I had no idea that like Avalanche games are just blacked out in Colorado, along with Nuggets games during the regular season, I would guess. I mean, once the playoffs happen, I would imagine the national networks pick it up and you can obviously watch it then. But it's just shocking that, you know, you think Denver is, you know, a sports town, and I guess that I don't know if their lack of support or just, I don't know. I guess what I'm leaving out here is the alternative for them to watch it. I guess they can buy Fubo TV or one of the streaming networks. If you have cable, you cannot watch the Nuggets or the Avalanche. Just shocking. Just a little side note here. Just shocking though.
I mean, yeah, that's not good if that's what's going on. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
probably should get that sorted out.
Yeah, especially when both of these teams are peaking, you know?
Yeah.
One thing if they're, you know, going 20 and 60 in the regular season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, off the top of your head right now, obviously we'll get into it more as the Stanley Cup approaches. But, you know, if you had to, you know, throw down, you know, $20 right now on a winner between Florida and Vegas, who would you pick right now going into the Stanley Cup final?
Oh man, that's tough because I think on paper I might like Vegas a little bit more, but the way the Panthers are playing and Bobrovsky's going,
it is funny you say what you just
it's
said.
Tough.
Because I kind of feel the same exact way.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's like, do I think, which I think one team, if the wheels could fall off of one team, it would be the Panthers. I think the wheels will fall off Vegas. If they lose, they can lose, but if they lose, it's not going to be like total collapse, no answers, abandon their game. It's just because they just got beat and they weren't good enough. You know what I mean?
But absolutely agree with you. And 100% seeing those scenarios. I could see Vegas losing those big games by, you know, with Tkachuk scoring in overtime or just they score a late goal on the power play. Like that's how I feel like Vegas is going to lose. But I do feel like Vegas could blow out the Panthers if Bobrovsky comes back down to earth or they just don't get, you know, they just don't get going offensively. I could see Vegas blowing out the Panthers, but I can also see the Panthers just grinding out wins and, you know, stepping up in big moments and scoring big goals to win them the game. So, those are my thoughts. But if I had to bet $20 or if we're, you know, betting at Chipotle against each other, I would probably have to say the Vegas Golden Knights are my pick to win the Stanley Cup. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough.
I want the Panthers, but...
Well, what makes me happy is that that's a first cup for either franchise. So I think I want the Panthers because I just know that franchise has been through a lot. And you kind of look at the shenanigans going on now in Arizona and how you think about at what point would a cup maybe have helped them in terms of their stability. Whereas you could see there is an appetite down there. for hockey. I mean, I think that what they were saying, the attendance in the building was pat. There was more people in the building than were supposedly max attendance. Just people just finding ways to get in the building. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I want that. My heart says the Panthers, but my head says the Golden Knight. And I've been wrong in both of those avenues in my life at various times. So we'll see which one wins out.
Yeah. All right. On to, let's do some New York Rangers. Since
hell
this
yeah.
is the Rangers podcast. I think the biggest news that has come out, is the MetLife Stadium, Stadium Series games. We'll have the New Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia Flyers, and you'll have the New York Rangers and New York Islanders. So I guess, you know, this happened in February, so it's going to be, you know, in the midst of winter. Your thoughts, Andy?
I mean, obviously hearkening to the Stadium Series a few years ago, where the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders kind of all played a series of games against each other. Although did the Devils and the Islanders ever play each other at the Stadium Series?
The Rangers played twice
and then the other two teams played once, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second I heard that, I was like, obviously the Rangers are going to get a new outdoor jersey for this of some sort. We'll see. I mean, obviously the Rangers are technically have to be the away team, but that didn't stop them from having a navy jersey at the Winter Classic against the Sabres a few years ago.
The Rangers are playing the Islanders, so Rangers might be the home team.
For the purposes of their contract with or their the lease is the way, if the Rangers ever play anywhere, they have to technically be the away team. So the only way that would really it would really affect it is like the last change and everything they don't get. But like they'll still play the goal horn. It doesn't really
I guess jerseys really make, won't matter, right? They'll have
no, because like I said, the Rangers at the Stadium Series, they had the white Yankees style jersey. And then when they at the Winter Classic against Buffalo, they had a throwback. I will be interesting to see what they come up with jersey wise. I think they should do a play on they've already done the really old Rangers to death. So I think it's kind of about time they just do something different. It'll be interesting to see if they try to do like a New York Giants type tribute.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Islanders do a little Jets tribute.
Well, the Devils could do a Jets tribute, I guess, technically, although it's a New York team. I know they play in Jersey, but it is the New York, you know, so, but well, I guess it'll be interesting. It would just it'd be funny if the Rangers had a blue jersey that just in the Giants font just said Rangers. You know what I mean?
That would be pretty wild. Now you have
the brain cells firing trying to think.
Yeah, no, I don't even know what whatever it is, I feel like I'm going to be disappointed. So I'm.
Well, here's my next question. Do you have any plans to go to this game?
Well, all right. I think everyone knows what my thoughts are on the outdoor games. They are miserable. Like, they're just not fun to attend. I think people go to it just so they can put up a reel or a photo on social media. They're not a fun experience. There's just no way you go to one of these games and you enjoy yourself more than just being at the, you know, the Garden or Prudential Center or UBS Arena. There's just no way in hell that happens. So again, I was thinking this February the weather was pretty mild. I go, maybe it'd be like enjoyable if you can go early and, you know, drink and make it like a football experience. Like, that would be really cool. But overall, I'm not sold on these outdoor games. Like, it's a spectacle. I'm surprised, like, it's still, I don't know if it's as big, or I'm just surprised that, like, the NHL keeps pushing to put more outdoor games on. So, I don't have plans to go at all. I don't think you could even get me there if you gave me tickets. But yeah, I, again, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to be like the party pooper, but I've been to the one at Yankee Stadium. I've been to the Rangers versus Flyers back in the day at the Phillies Stadium. They just, I mean, both times it was fun the first time. The second time was miserable. We left early. We actually hung out in the bathroom more than we did watching the game. It was just not a fun experience. So, are you like interested in going?
So I went to the Winter Classic against Buffalo. It is the coldest experience of my entire life. And I've been to some cold places. Our beers were exploding because they were frozen on the inside. Just beer cans exploding all over the place. It was so cold. And when the Rangers, I believe the Rangers were ahead, and then Buffalo tied it up to go to overtime. And I was saying, if the Rangers do not win this game, this might be the literally the worst day of my life. Luckily, they won. JT Miller won in overtime. And obviously, that was really cool. Which made it was like the OT goal was the coolest part of the experience, obviously. But again, I still retroactively, like, it's like I did it. It's not like, and my memories of it aren't that fond. I actually, you know, my friends that went to the stadium series a few years ago actually seemed to have fun. It wasn't as cold. It was still cold, but even, you know, they said they seemed to have fonder memories of that. I think a lot of it really depends on the setup. I think a baseball stadium is not the best for hockey. Just because sight lines are far.
Yeah.
A football stadium should supposedly be better because it's in the round and it should be even no matter kind of where you're sitting.
That's the only thing that like interests me is I just feel like it will be a better atmosphere. So, but the fact that it's February, you're just going to be freezing outside. But then like a part of me is like, you know, it better be like, is it a Saturday at 1 o'clock? You know, game, or are we talking about, you know, are they going to do the whole Sunday at 1 p.m.? You know, it just, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know how this is going to be done. You know, I would hope that both games are at 1 p.m. just so that the sun is, you know, shining, you know, the most intensely at that time during February. So it's not as bad, but I don't know. I don't want to say 100% I'm out because there's a part of me that's like, maybe you should just experience this, but it's probably not going to happen for me. So I'm more interested in the jersey now that you brought that up.
I do have another question.
Sure.
Do you think it was a mistake to have the Islanders play the Rangers and the Devils play the Flyers and not have the Rangers play the Devils and the Islanders play the Flyers? Or do you think they're trying to hedge their bets with the Devils being on the rise and a more competitive team to draw eyeballs to it? It's better to spread those two teams out.
I'd say it's better. I'd say it does. Listen, is it a better game to have the Rangers Devils? Without a doubt. But I also see what the NHL did there. You got two intriguing games. I think you're going to get a really good crowd.
Instead of one intriguing game and one who gives a crap game, it's like you get two intriguing games out of it.
But it'd also be weird if Islanders were playing Philly.
That is true. Obviously, Philly's involvement in this whole thing, although I sort of understand it, it's still kind of strange.
Yeah, but you know, I think they're trying to capture maybe the Giants, Jets,
yeah,
well, and then like the Eagle, like, you know, I don't know. I completely agree with what the NHL did. You know, they do screw things up, but instead of having one, you know, a must see game, you're having two games that are going to be really entertaining. Rangers obviously will always draw a crowd. You know, you'll get the Islander fans obviously out there. And then, you know, Devils, you know, Flyers, I think will be, or I'm sorry. Yeah, Devils Flyers will also be drawing a crowd considering Philly is just so close to MetLife. So, yeah, I'm just trying to think, Andy, if there's another alternative or if Boston was involved. I almost think, like, if you had, you know, Rangers, Boston, Devils, Islanders, that might be better. But then Philly is just so close.
You can't. Yeah, it's just so close. So I get. I mean, listen, I get why it's Philly. Cause
yeah, no, I absolutely
might be. It's technically might be easier drive from Philly than it is from Long Island for Islanders.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I get it. But yeah, you know, I guess we'll also see the state of the Philadelphia Flyers next season if they can take any step forward, just getting a little bit healthier and, you know, their first year under Keith Jones as their new president.
Yeah, I really do think jersey-wise, though, it could be a really bad eyesore if they have, like, a bright orange.
I just feel like orange and
red clashing.
Well, the Devils will wear their red jerseys, I assume, and then the Flyers will wear some white and black thing, you know? Although, yeah. I guess they go the opposite way.
I can just see them, like, wearing... It'll be weird. I bet you...
You know what's going to happen? Like, I know what's going to happen. The Devils are going to wear all white jerseys.
Yep.
That are going to have red trim around the Devils logo and, like red stripes. It's going to be a really weird deal. This is my too far out prediction right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the Flyers will wear some sort of black jersey with big orange blocks on it.
Oh, see, I'm okay. So my prediction would be, I agree with you, the Devils are going to be in all white. And then I think the Flyers will be, it'll look like a creamsicle out there. You'll have Flyers in all orange.
Yeah, orange pants, orange jersey, orange socks.
Yep, absolutely.
Very little striping.
I am curious, though, what the Islanders will do. The Rangers will do something so not fun. It'll just be very plain. I can see them doing something just really basic. Just, changed the shade of blue, you know?
It's like the same reverse retro jersey they'd done 2 years in a row, and yet they just changed the blue color slightly.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
And then like, oh my God, this is what people are going to love this.
Yeah.
What do you think the Islanders do, though?
Fishermen. The fisherman's in vogue now again.
Yeah. I feel like they might change it up a little bit.
Every Islanders logo that is not the original logo is upsetting to the eyes. It's just so bad.
Logos right now.
I mean, their Stadium Series jersey a few years ago was an offense to the sartorial hockey gods. Obviously the black jerseys they wore in Brooklyn, same thing.
I hope the NHL doesn't go down that road.
Like, what's like that third jersey the Islanders wore for a while, like pretty early in the Tavares, Elk Poso, Matt Molson era. It was like, it was such a, I can remember it. Finally, it was so bad, like silver on the caps. It was just so bad. The Islanders have some bad jerseys. I mean, luckily for them, they have one of the best classic jerseys. And I say that as a Rangers fan, yeah, come at me, whatever. But yeah, every alternative jersey the Islanders have ever done has been awful. I almost wish they would like go full, like the old Islanders, Brian Bellows, like fucking the wave jersey, fisherman jersey with where the font on the back is all like, you know, like on a wave.
Remember yeah. That?
Go full Ziggy Palfy, like, you know, do it, you know, that'll be cool. Let's face it, with coffee starting at $5, even without the customizations, and our bank account somehow always depleting, we are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate, or dupe, is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on is Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of those other more big-name tech brands out there. Raycon knows that in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options, and right now you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They offer free domestic shipping and flat fee international shipping, and they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Plus, their earbuds have features such as earbud tap functions, customizable sound profiles, noise isolation, awareness mode, custom gel tips for the perfect, most comfortable in-ear fit, crystal clear call quality, water and sweat resistance, and more. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off of your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can check lines and odds for upcoming games at the DraftKings Sportsbook app and pick the bet that fits you best. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus most in eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for offer details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources.
It would be fun if you did, that's like, I think the Islanders and Jets are definitely more together. Like I'm trying to think of like an old Jet logo that they could like incorporate into their, you know, I don't know.
It's obviously hard being, you know, purple and blue and then being green and gray, I guess. But
yeah. Well, do you think they pay homage to like the old Titans of the, you know, the Titans?
When maybe.
The Jets were blue and yellow.
Potentially, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. We're talking about, it's going to be way worse. You just know it. For all three teams, they're just going to be bad.
Yeah. Or do like, you know, the regular Islander logo, but except make it like the background instead of a perfect circle. It is the shape of the football, like kind of have the Jets have.
Oh, you know what? Honestly, I think you cracked it.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, you cracked it. Just leave everything the same. Instead of a circle, make it an oval like the Jets football.
And I think you do something cool. You can even change, you know, mess with the font of New York a little bit or something. But, you know, other than that, I think there you go.
There you go. And especially because you've had a lot of Jets show up at Islanders playoff games.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Justin Tuck is like at every, meanwhile, is at every Ranger game and all that. So, yeah. Brennan Othman and the Peterborough Petes won the OHL championship a scant few days ago, punching their ticket to the Memorial Cup. Brennan Othman had an excellent OHL championship run for them. So, yeah, now gets to win. So wins one trophy for the trophy case. He's already got two world junior championship golds, and now he's got a chance to win a Memorial Cup. Obviously, that's be the Peterborough would be facing off against the Quebec Remparts coached by Patrick Waugh, which I know we spoke about on our last podcast. And the host was a Cologne is the host, right? It's the Cologne Rockets this year. It's basically going to be those three teams and then the Seattle Thunderbirds. So those four teams facing off in the Memorial Cup. But Brennan Othman had a monster run to win the OHL championship with the Petes. So it'll be interesting to see if he can, you know, add. This is probably his last. I would imagine this is definitely his last. He's got nothing else to prove. This will be his last go around in the OHL. So it'd be pretty fitting if he can win a Memorial Cup. But yeah, I don't know. James, did you get to see any clips or anything, or watch any of the games?
I saw one of the clips, but you know, I think you're 100% right. Like, this is the last, you know, hurrah for him. I don't know if he's a definite for the New York Rangers roster next year, but there's something about this kid winning that really makes me think, like, as much as, you know, as much as it is skill wise to make that leap, there's got to be something mentally with this kid where he is a champion at everything he does. And I kind of like that. Not to say that, you know, we're going to win the Stanley Cup if we put this kid on our team. But, you know, if the kid is mentally feels like this is it, like, I'm ready to, you know, be a part of the NHL. I just hope there is a swagger to him. And it does kind of sound like there is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, just quick addendum. I believe I said Kelowna Rockets. That's wrong. It's the Kamloops Blazers as the host team this year. So my mistake. I got my K's mixed up. But that being said, yeah, Brennan Othman was an absolute pest like he usually is. But I've been really impressed with just his commitment off the puck and just back checking. And yeah, he's so good at drawing penalties by being a scumbag, which is something the Rangers desperately need. You know, watching him, he finds ways to be effective, which is tremendous. The skating worries me slightly, although it looks like he's at least made some really good strides in that department. And I think a lot of it will just kind of have to deal with him getting bigger and stronger. Luckily, he just seems to have that thing where he's putting himself in good spots regardless. It doesn't seem like he's chasing the game around too much. And yeah, I mean, just with that that top line with him, you know, Avon and Avery Hayes is just an absolute nightmare for any team to deal with. So they have a very good chance to win the Memorial Cup. But yeah, he'll be Hartford bound next season. I know there's already Rangers fans for cap purposes penciling him into the starting roster. I still don't think that's going to happen, but especially I think considering how gun shy the Rangers might be with feeling like they've rushed their prospects for the last few years. So, but who knows, maybe he has an excellent, you know, an undeniable camp and there's not much you can do. I mean, but we'll see, I guess. But yeah, first things first for him, he's got to win a Memorial Cup.
And, you know, obviously speaking of prospects, I think we all know, or, you know, heard the news that, or read the news that Kravtsov, who is technically no longer a New York Ranger, but nope. I feel like it's very appropriate to cover, signed a 2-year deal in the K. Andy.
Go back to Tractor Chelyabinsk.
Yeah. Are you shocked?
No, I mean, unfortunately, it's, you know, you can say this. I mean, I will say this. Kravtsov was always a boom or bust type of prospect pick for whoever picked him. Because obviously, even coming into the draft, he was an offensive player with, like, he was either going to be like a Evgeny Kuznetsov type player or he was just going to miss. So that's not exactly it's not so much that he didn't pan out is the problem. It's just the fact that with the Rangers have had so many basically lotto tickets and they just keep striking out. You know what I mean? And you do have to wonder, I mean, at a certain point, it's like, you know, Kravtsov was a little bit different story, not a consensus pick. And same thing with Elias Anderson, but with just the amount of the staggering inability of the Rangers to convert and hit on their first rounders, it makes you wonder, is it really their fault or were they just not developed properly? Because it's like, what's the common factor there? It's either you somehow, which is definitely possible, which is then becomes more an indictment on the Rangers scouting. But yeah, you either miss on all these picks or you just or like all these picks were going to bust no matter what, and you just picked so horribly wrong, or you just didn't develop them properly. It's honestly, like most things that are complicated, there's probably a bit of both there. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
Kravtsov, I mean, didn't do much after getting traded to Vancouver. And it's just the thing is that he had, like, on paper, he had the skills needed. You know what I mean? Like, it was a will problem. It wasn't a skill problem. He was fast enough to skate on an NHL level. You know, he had enough puck skills. We saw him make some passes and things happen. But the one time in his life he almost had momentum, the Rangers then just basically, you know, they fucked it up. You know, David Quinn clearly hated him. Chris Drury clearly just didn't like him. Apparently, it's come out now that we've heard about when Drury was the GM of Hartford, some of the harsh, tense conversations both parties have had. And also, apparently, he was not in favor of picking. Apparently, in the Kravtsov draft, he had his own ideas about who should have got picked in that spot. And lo and behold, right after, since then, Nick Bobrov has been a few seasons now, was released as the head of European scouting, you know, coming off of the Elias Anderson and Kravtsov debacle. So, you know, it's just, unfortunately, it seemed like after getting picked, it was clear it wasn't going to go the way the Rangers wanted it when they had selected him. But instead of maybe salvaging the situation by coaching him into at least a serviceable NHLer, even if he was a third liner, they just couldn't get the failure of their own failings. Honestly, they couldn't get out of their own way and get that out of their mindset. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little bit of both. You know, obviously we've seen the history with the New York Rangers and, you know, development or lack thereof. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it's weird because I do feel like, listen, the New York Rangers are one of the, you know, original six franchise. I think there's, you know, a lot of, pressure on some of these younger kids to come in here and be impactful. And when there's a little bit of buzz about you and you're a first round pick, I think there's a little bit more pressure on you than, you know, say a kid that's going, you know, first round to the Arizona Coyotes, or, you know, I'll even say this, even Jack Hughes going to the Devils. I just feel like there's a bigger spotlight on some of these players that come to New York. And I think there's high expectations and it's not for everybody. And I do think, you know, for the Rangers, it's not just about taking the best player available. You got to take the best player available that you think can mentally handle the pressures of New York, living in, you know, the biggest city in the world. And just, you know, and, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's a different animal here. You know, I'll say the same thing for Toronto. It's like the pressure here is more than anywhere in sports. And, you know, you got to live up to the expectation. And I think, you know, I know hockey is not football or basketball or, you know, even baseball, but at the end of the day, you got to have a swagger to you. You have to be able to, you know, come here and understand that there is a pressure that is not dealt with anywhere else in the league. So, again, you know, it's definitely both sides. I mean, it is. You know, it's scouting, it's the players being, you know, maybe a little bit more fragile. But overall, I think if you look at the New York Rangers and their, you know, lack of development, and it just feels like every time, you know, they jump, every time the Rangers say jump, these players are just like, well, instead of saying how high, they're like, well, I don't want to jump right now. You know, it's just like, it's always a fucking friction scenario. So yeah, that's enough mumbling out of me. What are your thoughts on, well, I'll say this, going into the draft this year, what do you think, and Rangers do have a first round pick, what do you expect and how the New York Rangers will handle this first round pick, like
if they hold on to it,
if they hold on to it,
because there I do think the movement is a big possibility. It's tough because I think the Rangers have been bit the past few years now for going for, or with their consensus. Well, that's not true, because obviously Kravtsov, and they go for Elias Anderson, who they were sacrificing skill for character, supposedly, in leadership. Didn't work out. They go for Kravtsov, which I actually liked at the time, because it was like a home. It was basically a big swing pick, because they felt like, you know, the year before getting Elias Anderson, they're like, all right, we already got we'll have the defensive stalwart, you know, middle six center. So let's go swing on offense. They struck out. They have a good, obviously they have a good, well, and they also had Hedel as well, which having the two first, Hedel was a swing for the fences pick, which they've it's looking like a double right now, maybe, you know what I mean? But, yeah. And then obviously going into in the Kravtsov draft, you know, fortunately they get Miller and Lundqvist. Lundqvist not here anymore, but that's more about the that they've actually kind of been successful with their back end. So he ends up getting traded, but Miller is a huge hit there. So yeah, I guess the question is, knowing what we know about Chris Drury and the players he likes, we know he likes competitiveness. Brennan Othman is looking like a pretty, at least as of right now, is looking like a solid pick in that spot. You know what I mean? He's dominated. They've let him basically marinate. He's basically dominated and been a key player on championship teams for the World Junior Championships for Team Canada. Has now won an OHL championship, was their leading scorer in the OHL championships, and now is going for Memorial Cup. So I think, knowing what I know about them now, I think, or at least how they've been burned, when I think about it, you know, you have to imagine Chris Drury, they definitely want a kid who can skate. I know that. I think you'd have to imagine just how their lack of team speed, they understand that. And another thing is, they're probably going to want someone who can skate. They're also probably, you never draft for need, but I think they basically painted themselves in this situation. I think they've taken so many wingers over the last few years. They need some centers. Unless a D-man drops, I think they go center. Luckily, there are a lot of pretty good centers in this draft and around that spot. You know, I think they're either going to take someone who can really skate, or they're going to take a Pierre-Luc Dubois light type player, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? They'll take like honestly, I could definitely see them. I think they're pretty happy and comfortable with their scouting in the CHL in Major Junior. So I could see them picking like Riley Height, who's a center who plays for the Prince George Cougars. They could pick Caleb Ritchie, who plays for the Oshawa Generals. So it's Generals. Jesus, the Oshawa 67. Excuse me. My head is all over the place right now. I think the Rangers are going to draft from need in this draft more so than they have before. And I just, I think they're going to go safer. It just seems, just by knowing that they've struck out so much, I think they're going to convince themselves this is a great pick, even though there might be leaving some talent supposedly. But if they just know that someone plays a very pro translatable game, I think they're going to go for it, which isn't obviously sexy, but I think honestly, because usually us fans want teams to swing for the fences and draft the next, like, oh, surprise, number one center for the next, 15 years. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I definitely agree that they're going to be drafting for a need. I think hopefully they get someone that can skate like the Wind, who's, bigger and stronger. We don't need skill. We don't need, you know, we certainly don't need someone that is softer, so to speak. And, you know, personally, maybe even a sniper would be nice. You know, a kid that could, you know, hopefully in a year or two could slot in, you know, the third line and, you know, actually be a scoring threat and bring some scoring depth to our, you know, bottom six. That would be nice. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, as the draft gets closer, the, you know, the rumblings start and, you know, what the Rangers will do with that pick. If they don't, could you see them moving back in the draft and not taking someone in the first round? Or like, is it definitely a shoe-in where the Rangers?
I could see them moving back, but still remaining in the first round.
Okay.
Like, if for some reason, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. If for some reason, I'm trying to think of teams that have multiple first round picks. Let's say the Montreal Canadiens are picking at 5 and they're picking at, where are they picking again? I think they're picking close to the tail end of the first round. I think they pick like 5 and then, probably like 29 or something, 28. Yeah. They're 5 and 29. So let's just say, they are willing to part with the 5th round pick and do a pick swap with the Rangers for, say, I don't know, an Alexi Lafreniere type player. You know, it's possible. I think the Rangers can move up. I think they can move back if they're like, you know what, if they can get like a high, you know, maybe they can get a player early in the second round and then just move back in the first, you know, if Anaheim wants to do, or Columbus wants to do something like that. They would probably think about that if they were that confident in their scouting. But again, I think they're going to do whatever they can to solidify picks that they feel 100% good about. Like when they moved up to get Keandre Miller, they knew that there were teams that were going to take him. Toronto was most likely going to take him as well. And they coveted him. They wanted him. And they went for it, and it was a big boon for them. It was a big win for the Rangers organization. So I think they're going to lean into more like that. I think, and similarly, Brennan Othman, I think they were just like, look, this kid's a competitor. You know, maybe he's got a lot of plus skills. Like maybe he's not the best skater, but he's a factor in the games he finds a way to be a factor in the games he played. And they felt good about it. And that looks right now, that looks like an excellent pick by them, based on where he was drafted. You know what I mean? So I think they're going to keep going down that road.
Yeah. I pulled up Tankathon and the Rangers, you know, drafting 23rd overall, mm-hmm. From the Oshawa Generals. I guess it's pronounced Calum Ritchie.
Yeah. Calum Ritchie.
Yep. 6'2", 187 pounds.
Yeah. He's like, he's kind of like a mini Pierre-Luc Dubois. I don't think I don't know if he'll ever be as, not that Dubois is overly physical, but you know what I mean. He's a bit of rough and tumble. Although Richie is too. I mean, but yeah, I mean, the Rangers have forever wanted to have like a big center like that. It's, you hear it. I've been hearing it for years and whispers of like, oh, they covered players like this and they never seem to get them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they usually have their middle, you know, obviously with Hedl, a little bit different type of player, but you know, they've wanted like a big Western Canadian rough and tumble winger for us. That obviously, this Clint Sather's influence for forever. You know what I mean?
Well, I think I agree. I think we do kind of need that. You know, I think we have enough, and nothing against European. I just feel like we have enough of those. Like, I think
it's
like, again, the skill. Like these guys, those Europeans, they're. Say I just, what you want. They're overly skilled, which is fantastic, but there's got to be some sort of balance.
Well, I think the problem is, I think there's organizations that know how to help those players make that adjustment, that flourish, those players flourish in their system. It's like, You know, Anton Lundell and Sasha Barkov look incredible for the Florida Panthers. You know what I mean? There's comfort there. If you look at the Dallas Stars, same thing, but there's other organizations just can't seem to do it. They struggle with that. And the Rangers are definitely one of them and that's something they're going to have to evaluate, you know, but it's the same way there's other organizations that, like, you know, the Detroit Red Wings, now it's Swedes, but for forever it was Russians, that they knew how to help them make that adjustment and maximize their potential. And the Rangers just can't do that. You know what I mean? They struggle there. So, but I think so far they feel like they're happy with their success at finding at least value in the OHL. You know, they're probably happy with Schneider and Robertson, some of the other players, you know, the lottery ticket players they basically have taken in later rounds, you know what I mean? But it'll be interesting. And honestly, I think, you know, as Rangers fans, you still forget you have people like Brett Berard. There's a lot of interesting other prospects that are knocking on the door that it'll be boom or bust for them. They're, you know, they either just make it or they miss by a mile. But I wouldn't be surprised if like a Brett Berard or a Matthew Robertson kind of emerges in the next few seasons here. And we're just like, oh, thank God the Rangers, you know, found that value there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got anything else, Andy?
No, I don't. You know, obviously I'm sure we do know the Rangers did indeed interview Spencer Carberry. Mm-hmm. According to Arthur Staple, he has garnered a lot of interest around the league. He's probably the front runner for the Washington job, the Capitals job. So it was interesting that the Rangers were, you know, I'll say this. There's also a lot, like I said, we're talking about Patrick Waugh. If the Rangers do interview Patrick Waugh, it would seem like very weird to give him an interview if he wasn't like towards the top of their list. But I keep seeing Laviolette. So there's so much smoke out there. Only really Chris Drury knows what direction he wants to go in. Or hell, maybe he doesn't even know. Maybe he feels torn. And he just knows if I pick wrong, this is the last coach I get to fire before Jim Dolan, you know, sends me out of town. So a lot of pressure. Don't envy the man.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing for you, Andy. If you want to sound us off here, Panthers are up 3-2 as we are currently speaking. Do they close it out and sweep the Hurricanes and advance to the Stanley Cup final tonight? I'll leave you with that prediction.
Sure. They get it done tonight. I know by saying this, I've basically given them the kiss of death, but I just, losing Slavin, who's done for the night, such a huge blow. And every single Panthers goal is just the prettiest passing play. It's not garbage. It's not like hard fought in front of the net. It's just they're just moving the puck. They're basically forcing the Canes to be late to every puck. And that just shows that they won't be denied. They figured it out. They're probably the most, they push offense better than almost any team in the league at this point right now. And they just, every play they make is a slam dunk, you know, backdoor play. Did Eric Staal get a point, a beautiful assist on this one? So, you know, so I think they do it and they'll have plenty of time to rest up. And I think then, honestly, my prediction is that the Cats get it done tonight. And then as you're listening to this, same thing with, we're going to have two sweeps. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.